Good evening. On Friday, April 4th, 2025, welcome to the books panel. I am joined by Makara. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Always happy to join in. Very thrilled to be here.
And Sienna is with us with me here as well. Thank you for joining in.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with the both of you. And
Well,
here's hoping that a few others will join as well. But in
yeah,
the
no
meantime,
problem.
I'm happy to be here
No problem.
and happy to make sure that everybody is able to come in.
No
So thank
problem.
you so much, both of you. It's a pleasure to be here.
No problem. Okay, so Makara, I'm going to start with you. Your thoughts on it's not what it looks like. When you from as you started and then as you went through, what were your thoughts and impressions?
Well, this was a reread for me. I'd read it a number of years ago when it was first released, and I had gotten into it because I was a fan of Molly Burke's YouTube videos. So I figured that getting back into it, I figured I would enjoy it, which I did, but I think I enjoyed it maybe in a different way than I did the first time. And I think I just paid more attention to each initial each idea that she was putting forward in each chapter, each sort of struggle or life event that she kind of detailed, I was more interested in each aspect rather than just sort of, oh, I enjoy her content. We have similar-ish life experiences. I think I got more out of it this time.
You know what? I can understand that perspective. Sort of mentioned at the last panel that I actually did know her a little bit for a brief period.
Right.
Not well, but not well, but I mean, I don't think she would know me though, or even remember me. It was, but see, but kind of aside from that, it was interesting to hear the emotional roller coaster that she went through, right? And but what I found always kind of happens is that when you recognize the emotional side, but then it's th then it becomes a different character. Like once you accomplish things in the way that she did and you get there, then I find it turns into a different sort of character a bit.
How do you mean?
Well, it was the first thing of now it's like, look at me, I can do anything, kind of thing.
Right. Which I suppose I can see why that would be a thing when you've kind of gone through, and there's no denying it, she struggled in her life with, various challenges, and of course, as anyone does in their way, but I can see why maybe you're not drawn to that sort of, I guess, the outward appearance of that. Would that be correct?
Can you I you know what I like what you're saying here. Can you maybe explain more on that? Just elaborate, please, on that.
I think what I'm going for is that there's nothing wrong with being confident in yourself, and it's a wonderful thing if you've overcome things in your life and you can say, I can do this, I've handled this. Anything that comes at me now is sort of not trivial in comparison, but might feel easier to handle. But I can understand how the outward appearance of that constant, I can do anything, I can do anything, might seem I guess self-important seems like the wrong word choice, but it is difficult when your audience is maybe going through things and they don't have that same self-confidence.
I mean, I like what you said there as well.
Oh, thank you.
But I feel what we sort of kind of where it comes to is self-confidence also is defined or can be defined in other w in different sort of ways as well. Everybody's definition like of self-confidence, like mine is probably different from say Molly's.
Right,
Right.
yes.
And right, that's where I'm kind of sort of kind of thinking about it from that perspective. Because what I found interesting is that she like what kind of got to me was that what kind of got to me was that what I found kind of is that she said like when she kind of mentioned that when she was younger like that everybody else got to go to the zoo and she didn't get to go or and that I that kind of told me that yeah you know what that these struggles are real.
Yes, very much. And how as a 7-year-old do you reconcile that? You're not understanding that. You just know that you're not getting to be part of that with everybody else. You don't have the sort of conscious awareness of why.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I think I feel one of the other sort of yeah, that is the caveat. That is the thing too. But and you know, and that's certainly it that you feel that bit of peace where that you don't get to do the same things as other people. And maybe it's one of those struggles where you just you know put it you kind of put it aside and kind of think about you know what's relatable here.
Can I ask you to elaborate on that a bit? I In especially when you say relatable, like to whom and
No,
in
like
what
you
way?
can, no, sorry. What I meant is that you can relate it. Like, you know, it is very relatable in a lot of capacities.
Oh, it is very much, yes.
Right. Where I wasn't like, I mean, look, I appreciated the fact that she was able to tell the story.
Right. Right.
And she did break down at points in there.
It sounded like it, yes.
Now, am I happy for her? Yes. But am I, right? And I think, and I felt she had every, you know, and I'm very happy that she put the book out there.
Yeah.
You know, and then she went into, and you know, the emotional roller coaster of her dog and things like that. I thought that was kind of interesting that like not interest I mean it just kind of you know it really kind of showed that how things can kind of hit at once.
Yeah, and that's very true. And especially something like that, where if it's not an aspect of a person's day to day that you're aware of, it is sort of interesting to hear about the bond that gets built. So I can understand where you're maybe coming from there when you say it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've right, like, see that, like, a lot of it too is I've always kind of, right, like, I mean, I'm always for, look, I always appreciate learning about people's struggles, right? And people's knowledge of it and how they came through it.
And Sienna, what about you? If you've had a chance to get into the book as well, we've been.
Oh, there we go. I just realized I had my mic kind of double muted there. And before I answer your question, Makara and Ali, just wanted to let you know that I did speak to Lynn, and she will be here shortly. She was having a bit of trouble getting in, but I resent her the link, and she will be here shortly.
Wonderful.
Yeah, looking forward to having her with us as well.
And
And
Jeff?
Jeff, is gonna try and be here as soon as he can as well. Just heard from him as well. Yeah, I binged through the book last night. I just couldn't put it down. It was a good book, and I mean, I like how she really got into I like her style of narrating the book. It was as if, like, the way she narrated it, it was almost as if I was hearing her do a live TED talk. You know how she really kept the audience engaged with metaphors and anecdotes and her sense of humor. And I remember seeing her live once in Burlington, Ontario. And she had that same enthusiasm, and it really shone through in the book as well. It was really, really amazing to see. And it's interesting how she didn't, well, she did share her struggles, but focused more on the lessons she learned through them. And I really liked the approach that she took.
That's interesting what you said about the narration. I never really picked up on that or thought of it in the same way, but I can absolutely understand what you mean by that. That's very, very interesting that
Yeah, I mean
the
it just goes to show that public speaking is in her in her veins, you
Well,
know?
exactly. And it really translated to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really enjoyed especially the lessons that she taught us throughout the book and that she recapped at the very end. And it was interesting the allusions to different songs. One that really stood out was one of the chapters was "I Get By with a Little Help from My Furry Friends." I
Oh, yes.
thought that was really cute.
It's
I'm like,
clever.
it's clever, you know. You gotta have that Beatles reference there. It was really cute. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Jeff, your thoughts on the book?
Part of me, I found myself going between thinking about who the audience, the target audience of this book was intended to be based on what she was talking about and how she was talking about it. Some of it almost seemed, I guess to build on that, yeah, it does seem like it does sort of go along the same lines as how she might carry herself on a TED talk or something, but at the same time, the thing that struck me the most was her upbringing and how she was treated throughout the school system. And it's one of
Yeah, I
these
was just
things,
thinking that actually.
yeah, and it's one of these things where you It's one thing to recount it as an adult, and it's one thing to hear it as an adult. It's another to actually be, going through the second or third grade with everything that's new to you, that's like you're just being yourself, and all of a sudden there are these challenges that are right in front of you. So, there are things that I think I'm sure we thought about how we all went through schooling, if it hit us that early, or if, whenever it came to, whenever we dealt with it in our lives. But there's no way of getting around how much it would just slow down or just impede with your trying to get by throughout the year. And the one thing that struck me was when she was in, I forget if it was when she went back to public school or if it was before she went to the school for the blind, how she had a classmate who was helping her with grabbing stuff from the board, or because the teacher didn't want her vision teacher in class with her. And she was at her they were at their house one time, and she said thank you so much, and she said, oh, my teacher paid me to.
Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
a. Oh, sorry, Allie.
Go ahead, go ahead.
I was just going to say that it's a. I can't even imagine how difficult of a thing that is to reckon with at that age, or any age, really, when you start to learn. Well, not learn those sorts of things, but when you see them happen and how it affects you, it's a hard thing, depending on the schools and the system that you've grown up in, just like you said, Jeff. What were you going to say, Allie?
And kind of to piggyback off that, it can be the same as an adult in some situations too. Yeah, I never, you know what, that stood out too, really, because I think she kind of went on about like that, like how going through the school system, that was, and then there was also a part there where she, where it was like, then she wanted to be like everybody else. She wanted to fit in. So he's like, you know what? I don't care whether it's bad or a good thing, or I end up with the bad crowd. I'm gonna do it because I want to fit in with everybody. I want to be like everybody.
Right, with she described it as the group of misfits when she went back to public school. And that's a fairly common thing, because you'll sometimes wonder, oh, like if you see someone hanging out with a group of friends, especially at that age, you go, oh, what pulled them in, or what attracts them to them? It's because they're all seen as equals, or they're all welcomed in.
I mean, then you sort of begin, then you think about, right, and then like see, then you kind of then you start to think about, is it right, or is it a good, is it right or wrong, that sort of thing, right? Now that's kind of it. But at the time, because the thing is that you don't want, like, whether in her case, whether it was the blindness piece, she didn't want that to be a thing. She didn't want to realize that, yes, she's different and it's part of her identity and this and that. She just wanted to be with everybody and like everybody. That was what the messaging was there.
Right, and it's probably become, as she's gotten older, it's probably become a delicate mix, as I'm sure it has for all of us, because she grew up with her blindness being like the, key character trait outwardly that the public saw, and then she wanted to just shy away from that, and then she has built her brand on, like, as her as a whole, which has, really focused on living as a blind person. So I think we all kind of go through stages of that where, it actually, just not to jump around a bit, but she was talking towards the end about how she loves to engage with people as she walks across the street. Anytime she gets questions, and she says some people probably don't, because either they're just trying to get through the day, or, the reasons as to how they got here might not be very fun to talk about on a in small talk, if there was there a tragic accident, or if there was, something that came out of emotional harm, or if there was some, if there was a story behind it, you don't necessarily want to count that when the light turns from red to green.
No, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right about that. Sienna, I see you have your hand up. Sorry to keep you waiting there. Go ahead.
She muted?
Oh, she is muted. Sienna, you're muted.
Oh, there we go. Can you hear me? Yep,
I
there's.
can, and your mic's buzzing again.
Oh no. What about now?
There, it's okay now.
Yep, you're good.
There we
Yeah.
go. Yep, there we go. I think when I turned it back on, it started buzzing a bit. Going back to that, that really struck me too. That the girl was quote unquote paid to be like to help Molly, and it just you hear this all the time, and I had one of my grandmother's neighbors actually wasn't one of her closest neighbors, but one that we would see in the hallway every once in a while. And she actually said to my grandmother one time, "Oh, you're so, you're so ins." And I was right there. I didn't know what to say, or I would have said something. But it was one of those things where she's like, "Oh, you're so, you're so inspirational for, taking care of her." And I didn't really know what to say at the time. I'm just, and I ended up saying to her, I said, "You know what? She's not, taking care of me. We're just hanging out like any grandmother and granddaughter would." Going back to the whole thing of the inspiration porn that she mentioned before, or and the same person said to me, "Oh, you're so, oh, you came here on your own on the bus. Oh, that's so inspirational." Or, "Oh, you came, in public transit, and you got in, found the keyhole, and you got into the apartment building on your own, And it's just like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so what,
I think what you have to sort of look at, right? And Jeff, I'll let you chime in a sec as well, and Makara as well. But I think what you have to, you know what? And this is kind of where the advocacy in you is coming, right? But you have to look at it. You have to look at it from the other side too. And the other side is that there is that there will always be that perception in society. And the reason there will always be that perception because see, we as people with disabilities, blind people, when it comes to society, we are 1%. And where we're competing with, say, the other 99% of the world, which are sighted or able-bodied and whatever you want to call it. So for them, it's that 1% piece coming in, going, hey, how do 1% of the people or 1% of people, it's to them, it is inspirational in some capacities because, like because of the fact that because of the fact that they've never They've never seen it. They've never witnessed it.
Yeah, there's like anything, it all sort of feeds into each other because there's two ways to go into it. One is that if we look at the fact that you mentioned, Ali, if we're a 1% of, to the 99%, there's also
Yeah.
competing, there's also, let's say, 25% of that 1% is totally blind, no light percent, no light
Yeah.
perception, no colors, no shadows. Let's say, 60% is, has low vision. So whether if it's nearsight, farsight, whether, some people I know have like, I know someone who is, can see enough to where she doesn't qualify for her CNIB ID card, but she doesn't see well enough to get her driver's license,
Yeah.
But then there's, let's say, the remaining, let's see, I'm getting my math wrong. Let's say the
No.
15% is deafblind. But at the same time, I could even include myself in, let's say, for example, I was visiting someone who lives in a wheelchair at home, or let's say I was visiting, like, whom I've never met before, or I was lucky to go to school, where there was not only a vision center, but there was a hearing center. But some people might have, never met someone who was hard of hearing or deaf before. So all of a sudden, they become, we become that 99% of people who've never encountered someone who's deaf, or someone who might have learning struggles, or someone whom, other things. So there, from that perspective, we're all sort of connected. On the other, to what Molly was talking about, how on one hand the world might not be designed with us in mind, but the idea of universal accessibility, really impacts everyone. So, for example, like, there are so many instances where something was invented to help people with some sort of disability that have now become mainstream in society. A glaring example is voice recognition on our phones. I remember when this came in, I remember when, like, early versions of Siri came out, I was like, who's gonna want to use this? In my mind, I was thinking, like, drag and dictate, nuance is off. Like, it's not how you'd work in our lives. We're so used to doing things manually on our phones. Who's gonna do it? And then not only did it help, not only did people who are blind take after it, arguably the sighted population took after it even more, because then it became functional, but it also became fun. How many videos and memes were made off of that? The electric toothbrush was made for people with limited motor skills. I didn't know that, but to us, even, growing up, just electric toothbrush was something you just saw. So on one hand, like, it's really frustrating how to be labeled an inspiration to someone. Like, we wouldn't just walk up to someone on the street corner and say, and just dwell on for 20 minutes about how inspirational they are. But at the same time, you're quite right, Allie, that to some cases, their idea of what blindness looks like is, well, we can only assume what it is, but it really comes across as, well, if someone has no vision, then they must have no control over anything else. Therefore, they have to be cared for. So it's really fascinating.
Yeah, and the other thing too that kind of caught me, right, was yeah, and I think that's one of the other things too, right, where like there's always like a multitude of things, right, where one is always going to see that, and I think when you look at all these different perspectives, it kind of gets you to sort of look at things from each angle and kind of help to understand that sort of thing. And one thing that also kind of got me as well, one thing what was interesting was the when she was talking about the ride sharing piece. Sorry, am I still here, guys?
Yeah,
You're
oh
here.
yes.
Okay,
Yep.
okay. Where she was talking about that piece, the ride sharing piece, where it's like where and the driver refused her, and where her mom always would go to the front of the car, it would go up to the driver, and she would stand at the back or at the and whatever sort of thing. And it was one of the, and then how the driver would refuse to take her, and then she just went into the car. And I mean, it kind of ties in, but that I thought was interesting too.
Yeah, it's almost like that was sort of a workaround as a way of not having to deal with just one more thing at the end of the day. It's like a faucet that's always dripping. You know, it might just be a little drip drip here, but at the end of the day, that's a leak.
Well, and I'm
That's a
sure.
good analogy.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Go
Ahead, Bakari, your thoughts?
Sorry, Lynn, I didn't mean to cut you off there too, but I was just
No,
gonna
no.
say I'm sure all of us who have been not even in those situations, but just growing up and learning things in our day to day, I'm sure we've all got workarounds for things that, even if whatever it is a little broke, I'm sure we've all had to learn things and maneuver in ways that make it, marginally better.
And having options to do it is great as well. Like sometimes we might see option A as the only way to fix something or the only way to go about doing something when in fact there's so when something else comes on the scene, it might catch, I'll say traditionalists loosely, but it might catch those off guard, like what? You know, that's not how it's done. It's, well, it's, you know, it can be done both ways. So
Very true.
I agree. And sometimes, you know, it's like being in a dark room, bumping into walls and tripping over things. You know, you have to sort of, you know, change your tactic from time to time and just find a way to work that will work.
I also love the it's a small footnote, but she'd mentioned that once she had be, you know, began to make a name for herself, she wanted to go completely independent. You know, I don't need anybody. I am my own, you know, I am my
Yeah,
own. I
I was
do
just thinking
everything together.
that. Yes.
And her dad
Yeah.
had said, well, we already know that you can do everything because you've shown that, but nobody on this earth, nobody makes it through life as just, you know, just by themselves. Everyone who's successful has a good team behind them. They have resources put in play to help them. And that is really pertinent, not only to her situation and our situation, but in general. You might hear someone say, oh, you know, went through this whole life by myself. I made myself from the ground up, and I'm totally self-sufficient. Well, not even if that's, you know, even if you're the only one in your household, or if you're, you know, just, you know, if it's you, yourself, and you, it's never been that way because we're all part of the general public, and as
Yeah,
such, we all.
exactly. Yeah. And Sienna, we'll just
Yeah.
kind of, do you want to just go ahead here and then we'll kind of wrap it up? Makara, I know we're
Yeah.
kind of short on time. I apologize. So go ahead. We're
No,
just kind of.
worries. And you know what? It's something that it's not about being, there's independence and there's interdependence. And you know, it just goes to show that, you know, I always used to think, oh, I can do it on my own. I can do it on my own. One of the things that I like, there were so many lessons in this book that really gave me a shake. You know, it kind of gave me that, you know, a little bit of a shake there. Like, yes, I could see myself in this a lot. And it doesn't matter whether you're running your own business, or whether you're, you know, pursuing a dream that you've always wanted to pursue. But what I've learned was, or just simply asking for help, or just simply, you know, learning how to do something, a life skill, or an O&M route, an orientation and mobility route, whatever the however large or small the task you want to accomplish is you never can do it alone. And it really, I had to learn that, and I always thought, oh, I should be able to do this on your own, on my own. I kept, telling myself, why can't I do this? I should be able to get this on my own. And it took me till I started university to really realize, hey, it's not just about doing it alone. There are times when you're gonna need help. It's not just from a blindness perspective, but we all do. We can't just go through life alone. And that song, "You'll Never Walk Alone," really, you read Molly Burke's story, and how she wanted to run her own business on her own, and her dad was like, no matter, I know you can do it, but you need that support. And just hearing the song "You'll Never Walk Alone," it just makes me thankful to have the family and friends and the teachers and colleagues who have supported me and continue to support me, right? And it's all about interdependence. It's all about having that team as well.
Well, I don't, I agree with you, Sienna. I'm quite stubborn, and I think that I don't need any help. But you do, and you don't live your life in complete isolation. You've got friends, you've got family, you've got, people that are more knowledgeable than you are in certain areas, and so on and so forth. And you know what? It's not a weak. I think sometimes people think it's a weakness, but it's not. I think it's actually, a strength, really, if you realize that, you're in over your head. Well, sometimes it takes some bravery to ask for help, but it's certainly the sensible thing to do, because we can't do everything on our own. We just can't.
No, it's highly impossible. And having that support, it's knowing when you need help in certain areas and asking for help, it's part of the growing process. It's part of the learning process.
Yes. Yep. Oh, absolutely.
It
And I
it's
think
all
that,
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
and I think that, we might frame this in our minds as, oh, blind person or a disabled person needs help from someone who's able-bodied, but the shoe's on the other foot. To prove that we're all just people. How many people turn to us for help? Not just us on this call, but in general. With something. Whether if it's help with a particular with doing a craft, or help with, some sort of skill that we're more proficient at, or sometimes just your own, or sometimes it's just easier. It would take some, it would take someone 2 seconds as opposed to, 10 minutes to try and get through it, just because it's something.
Yeah, and
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
and it makes me want to be that support for someone, and it always
Yes.
makes me feel good. I remember when I used to take the bus regularly, and every once in a while someone would ask me, "Hey, I'm trying to get to such and such. Do you know where I need to get off, or could you please tell me what bus I need when I get off at such and such?" And if I knew the answer, or I'd look it up, and I'd give them the answer, and it felt good To me too, because I know that, sometimes I'm in this situation, and if I can be that, if I can be of help to someone, it's, it feels good to know that we're not alone, that there are, good people out there that are willing to help.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, no, so
Absolutely.
yeah, absolutely. No, so it's, you know what? It's, you know what? I would recommend the read as an inspiration, certainly. And
Absolutely.
to just
Yes.
keep
Yeah.
going. Yeah. So, Lynn, you get to pick our next book for the next panel, which I think we'll do later this month, actually. What would you like for the next, what would you like, what book would you like to pick for?
Ooh, well, isn't that a good question? Let me see. Okay, suddenly I have a barrage of books marching through my head. Okay, first of all, do we care if it's fiction or nonfiction?
You get to pick. You get to pick.
Okay, well, I was going to say, I've been reading a book. It is by, oh, what's the fellow's name? Oh, it's by Simon Schuster, and it's nonfiction. It's actually about Vladimir Zelensky,
Oh, wow.
what's the book
and
called?
it's called The Showman because, of course, he was an entertainer and so on and so forth. And the book is it's well written. I like the fellow's approach. He opens a book with, with some interesting, observations and takes on, Zelensky as a showman, and tries to, sort of bridge the abyss. That we might have in our own minds. How did he move into politics? What was happening there? I'm not finished yet, but it's an interesting read. It's an interesting read. I've always somehow or other, from whatever it is I have read in the past, news articles and so on and so forth about Zelensky. I've always had a great deal of respect for him. Can you imagine? But he, I think, has mustered all the, strength that any person can. And I just find the book really, it's interesting and it's illuminating and inspirational, on some level, not that any of us are gonna, run a country, but it's just it's very encouraging to see a politician who has the strength to endure what he's endured for the last few years. It's a good book. So, I hesitate because, nonfiction and, it's about a political figure and so on. So I do.
We welcome everything here.
Yeah. Okay. All
Absolutely,
right.
regardless of genre.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, good, because the other book I mentioned before was totally in the opposite direction, fiction, but oh gosh, what's it called? The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. I got the biggest kick out of that
You jot
book
that down, Jeff?
the first time I read it. Pardon?
I was just wondering, Jeff, can you jot that down, that book?
Yeah, it's by Mark Haddon. I mean, we get, we can keep that in the back of our minds for some point in
Yeah.
the future too. Yeah, I found it really interesting. You got to walk in the shoes of someone who is, very different. It was a fun, it was an interesting book to read and a fun book. The title alone, I think, kind of, it draws you in. It's a good read.
Yeah, they both sound like very good reads, and if I can find The Showman on Audible,
It's
you
there.
know, I'm happy.
Oh,
Oh,
that's
awesome.
great. Is it there?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
it's one
I
of
just
those.
sent it to the
Oh.
books chat too, so
Ah, there it is. Yes,
Excellent.
there's the notification.
I'm
Excellent.
chuckling because I see the author named Simon Schuster, and I'm not sure if it's related, but there is a publishing company or a recording company called Simon and Schuster.
Yeah. Yes.
It does just sound like the
Oh,
Pulitzer, doesn't it? Like just the whole publishing company just put this into the
yeah.
void.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, can you drop
It's
that?
almost.
Yeah, can you drop that into the books chat as well, Jeff? The one
Yeah,
that
no
Lynn
problem.
just mentioned. Okay. Yeah. So I wonder. Yeah. So we will be
Thank
here.
you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Now we will be here. Now I wanted to mention as well that. We're going to. So thank you so much for checking this out. And this will be available. This will be posted on the Broadcast Map podcast feed, and of course at broadcastmap.ca. Thank you so
Looking
much,
forward
guys,
to it.
for joining me here for this for It's Not What It's Looked Like. I do appreciate you taking some time here tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Certainly, my pleasure. It's fun to chat with like-minded people. It's good.
Absolutely. And
Yeah.
you know what? Share our thoughts and opinions on various books of various genres. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, it fascinates me that somebody can sit down and write a whole book. Where does that come from?
Yeah. It takes a
that
lot
come
of
from?
inspiration and
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And courage too, to a certain degree.
Oh, yes. I would think so. If I wrote a book, I don't know that I'd want to read any reviews of it because I'd be afraid. And, I wouldn't want my ego bruised. And
Oh, I know. I know the
I
feeling.
nor would I want to swing completely the other way and think, well, you idiot. You didn't get what I was saying now, did you?
It's actually
Anyway.
funny because somebody actually said to me once, you should write a book. And I went, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people love to throw that around, and it's a wonderful thing to say. But I think there's two things that go into it, which is that people don't realize what that takes in terms of the whole process. And I think it
Yes, I
also
think that's
takes,
true.
and I think as you were both just discussing, it takes a certain kind of person to want to put all that out there and to want to, open themselves up to such, scrutiny and public opinion.
Yeah,
Yes.
I just
Yeah.
tell everybody, I'm like, I mean, I don't even know what I would. I know people who have said to me, you should write an autobiography. I'm like, I don't even know what I would share or what I would want to share. I mean, I'm just your average everyday me.
Right, you're just living your life.
Yeah, I'm just living my
Yeah.
life, and that's really all there is to it in a nutshell.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I mean, it's funny because I have sat down and I have, written some short things. Mostly I had the biggest kick. Well, I still do because I still once in a while, start scribbling away. But for Christmas Eve, I used to always, we had a, when my kids were small, I had this whole routine, right? And part of it was that we would read things like, you know, 'twas the night before Christmas, and you know, little Virginia's letter to the editor of or whatever the heck it was. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. You know, we would read a number of things that, you know, it became tradition. We did it every Christmas Eve. And what started to appear was I would write, you know, they'd just be a couple of pages, but reminiscences of when the kids were small. And some of the funny things that I observed about them, you know, either Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, or so as the years went by, you know, they got used to me each year.
Yeah.
They'd think, oh God,
Thank you.
we're